This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. I'm so fired up for today. We've got friend of the show, Taylor Steele, on the episode this
week. Back by popular demand.
When's the last time Taylor was on? Was it the live when we used to do YouTube live?
Oh, yeah.
That was back in the pre-COVID.
Day. He's got a face for TV, that guy. But yeah. We used to do a lot more video recorded episodes, right?
Yeah, we're dabbling in the space now.
Yeah.
We're redabbling in the space.
But we've always translated better over the mics.
That's right.
Taylor Steele.
Not Taylor Steele.
No, he's with Integrated Equities Incorporated. So basically what Taylor does, I mean, they do everything from development to basically funding for projects.
Right.
They do some stuff in the United States. They obviously are a local company. So they do a lot in Canada, and he's got a project right now in North Vancouver, but we're kind of talking about the US, we're talking about Canada. It's just a great show that covers real estate all over.
Yeah, he's been in the space a long time, and he knows the province well, he knows Metro Vancouver well, he knows a bunch of other markets well, where the opportunities are and why. So it's a great conversation. Glad to have Taylor back on the show.
Yeah, Matt, and I should say a couple spoiler alerts from this episode. One is the Canucks did not win the Stanley Cup, because we did record this a while back.
Oh, right,
and,
yeah.
Two, neither did the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah.
But also,
although I did see on Taylor's social media, he has friends in high places. I believe one of his posts suggests that Sam Reinhardt, who scored the winning goal in Game 7, who's a North Vancouver native, is a buddy of Taylor Steele's. No big deal.
I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like
Taylor, at least he alluded to it.
He alluded to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, I actually think his business partner at Integrated Equities may have played in the NHL as well.
Yeah. He's a...
So if you're just a hockey fan, reach out.
Friends in high places, that's for sure.
Here's the thing, though, about this conversation as well, is I think this was recorded right before the rate cut as well. So there's probably some things we talk about that maybe we already know the answer to, but we do cover a lot of amazing ground here.
Oh, yeah.
And talk about some interesting things about not only the U.S., but North Vancouver.
Yeah, it's definitely not like nothing's changing week by week in this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. But Matt, before we get to that,
we have the MLA Newswire Weekly. This is a pre-sale update brought to you by the MLA Canada Advisory Team. The headline this week, Adam, Canada introduces extended 30-year amortization period for first-time homebuyers.
Yeah, Matt, and this is exciting. Obviously, another gift from the federal government for new construction, making it a little bit easier for first-time homebuyers to get into the market, but also directing them towards where the supply is being created.
Yeah, exactly. So starting August 1st, Canada will extend the amortization period for insured mortgages.
Right.
So that's when you're putting down under 20% from 25 years to 30 years for newly built homes. This makes a lot of sense because they're basically incentivizing people to buy new construction, which means more houses are getting built.
Yes. What are some of the pros of this, Matt?
Some of the pros, well, most first-time homebuyers don't have 20% to put down unless they are getting a gift from the bank of mom and dad, which
right.
Many people just don't have that as an option. So this allows them to benefit from this longer amortization period without having that 20% down initially.
Right.
Of course, if you're going from 25-year mortgage to a 30-year mortgage, your monthly payments are going to be lower as well. So you have less to put down and easier payments monthly to take on.
Right.
Right. So it makes it easier for first time home buyers.
And last, of course, your borrowing power goes up with that extended amortization period. So there's a lot of pros here, but there are some cons.
Yeah, Matt, and the cons are basically the flip side of that. I mean, if you have an increased amortization period, that means that you're going to be paying more interest over time. So for example, you buy a house or a condo for $675,000 with a 15% deposit, that means you could be paying $100,000 more in interest by adding an extra 5 years.
Right, over the 30-year period.
Yeah, exactly.
What's $100,000 over 30 years, though?
Exactly. You'll have sold by then. But another downside is that it will take longer to pay off the mortgage and you'll obviously pay down less principal.
So if you do sell it before the 30-year period, which is generally the case, you're going to have less equity.
Yeah, you will have less equity, exactly. So if you move on in 3 to 4 years, you have to pay attention to how much equity you've built, and it will be less if you have a longer amortization
period.
Right.
But you know what? Overall, I think this is good policy. I like this. This is democratizing home ownership in a way that is really beneficial and leads to more supply.
Well, as well, you know, I mean, this could be perceived as another pro, but if you get into the market and there's a run-up in the market and you could also build capital appreciation, right? The cap gain could be there. So, I mean, you can't discount that. You're building some equity while you're getting a cap gain. It could be a really good thing.
Yeah, and you're in the market. If you like what you heard here, subscribe to the MLA Newswire, a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit mlacanada.com to subscribe now.
And Matt, we're also sponsored by Scalina Real Estate, which is our real estate company in Vancouver. And we've got another featured listing. We always put our featured listings over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, where you can check them out. And
they also go out on the live wire, I should say.
They do. But this week we are featuring our brand new listing, 3201 at 4720 Lougheed Highway. This, of course, is Concord Pacific's Hillside West building in vibrant Brentwood. I love this building. It feels like when you pull up, it feels really high status.
Yeah, you know what? When you're driving down Lougheed Highway, you look at Hillside West, Hillside East, there's that Oasis building, all part of that master plan community at Concord. Yeah. It's just like stunning stuff.
It is stunning. And you know, there's a full-time concierge, really beautiful presentation on the lobbies. I mean, it's really upscale.
Tell me about the Sky Home. So 32nd floor.
Did you coin Sky Home? You did not. I think Concord did. Here's the thing. This is the perfect modern floor plan. It's got AC. It's got a massive outdoor space. This is like, it's almost, somebody told me years back that Concord bought a mountain to do their own marble mining.
Right.
I feel like they must, the whole thing's covered in marble. It's like living in a marble square. It's fantastic.
Spa-like bath for sure.
Spa-like bath. Huge outdoor space, unbelievable views, city and mountain views. What I love about this though is you've got the EV-ready parking stall, you've got a storage locker, and some of the best amenities I think in the Lower Mainland.
Absolutely.
Phenomenal. But Matt, that can be found at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over. That's where we feature all of our listings.
Absolutely. And Adam, while you're there, you want to hit sell with us because that's where you can download the sold plan.
The sold plan, Matt, that stands for start on launch date. It's our guide, which is a step-by-step plan to get your home ready for market, to get top dollar in the shortest amount of time. It's an instant download. So sign up for the sold plan over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. And without further ado, Matt, we should cut to this conversation with Taylor Steele because this is a great one.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, happy Canada Day.
Oh, yeah. Happy Canada Day. This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly 4 decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds. Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/sonhouse. That's SONHAUS. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
All right, we're here with Taylor Steele, registered dealing representative with Integrated Equities Incorporated. How you doing, Taylor?
Thanks for having me, guys. What a great introduction. What a sexy title there, right? Registered dealing representative.
Yeah, that could mean a lot of things. It could. But you're dealing mostly in investments in real estate.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So Integrated Equities, it's an exempt market dealer or a private equity brokerage. And so we're a brokerage that's set up specifically to focus on real estate. In the world of private equity, people can invest in technology, oil and gas, cannabis, all of these different sectors. Our team over the last 9 years, we've focused specifically within the world of real estate.
And we should say past guest fan favorite. I can't remember exactly how long it's been, but it's been a while.
December 2019.
Okay.
Yeah. Before.
Is that right?
We were just talking about this in the old studio in Mount Pleasant East, but confusing because both buildings are very similar.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we had the old studios a bit nicer.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. Similar. Yeah. But can you maybe start by telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, Taylor?
For sure. So my name's Taylor Steele, 31 years old, born and raised here in Vancouver, born in North Van. Went to the University of Calgary, then transferred over to BCIT. Did the marketing management program there with a specific focus in entrepreneurship. After that, graduated, started my own real estate brokerage with my business partner, Cynthia Aysen. So we had our own real estate brokerage together for about 7 years, Investment Revenue Realty. And then in 2019, also got into the private equity space. So both on the realtor side of things, as well as the private equity side, I've been helping our clients invest in real estate coming up on 9 years in June now. So it's been a very fun ride. Also a very active investor myself, both on the, you know, active side with buy and holds, Airbnb, that sort of strategy, as well as on the passive side with limited partnerships and REITs and mortgage funds and stuff like that. So both helping people invest on a day-to-day basis as well as very active in the market myself.
So I feel like it's interesting because we had you on in 2019. COVID was when private equity, at least in my mind, from kind of the outside looking in, went crazy. You know, money was basically free. It was the boom days. The last couple of years have been a little bit tougher. Can you talk a little bit about that, the last couple of years since we've had you on? Like, how is the private equity space thinking specifically about real estate?
Yeah. So over the last 4 years, don't know if you guys heard, but this thing called COVID happened. So that was the start of it. And then following that was the interest rate hike. So I think as a real estate operator, if you have a portfolio or you have an individual property, you felt the impacts of that, whether it was wondering if your tenants were going to pay rent when the first part of the COVID situation was happening, whether to refinancing your property and getting a new mortgage at today's interest rates. I think everyone's really faced the headwinds of the market today with both the COVID situation and the interest rate situation. I think real estate as a whole has been a beneficiary or has really been positively impacted by this whole thing. You've got really a supply chain issue, which has caused a shortage of new product being built. This has had an impact on vacancies, which has been low, continues to be low, as well as rents have continued to climb. And I think in Canada as a whole, we're really going to continue to feel this supply-demand imbalance as the land costs have increased, the cost to build has increased, materials and labors have increased, as well as consumer confidence now with the higher interest rates has decreased as well. So it's really an interesting tailwind going on in the market right now. You've got very low supply, very low vacancy. You've got the government saying, let's bring all these people in. You've got developers saying, we would love to be building stuff. Let's get these shovels in the ground. And then you've got all of the other roadblocks and barriers that come up along with that. And so it's quite an interesting time within the real estate market right now.
And would you say right now, like just thinking about Integrated Equities and what you're doing there, are you mostly investing in Canada or the US right now?
So mostly investing in Canada right now. We do have two partners that we work with that invest down in the US. So at Integrated Equities, we currently work with 7 different real estate investment companies. And these companies are all individually focused in a specific geographic area or a specific real estate asset class. So kind of the three different categories that I'll break them down into would be a land development opportunity, a REIT, and a mortgage fund. And these are the different kind of investment products that our clients will invest in. And so we bring forth what we believe are some of the best projects from these different companies. So we go out, we research, we analyze, and we do our due diligence on these investment companies that are bringing forth these projects. We take a look at who's running the company, what experience do they have, and what's their track record doing this. And then once they bring forth a project to us, we'll take a look at the deal itself. So taking a look at sales comparisons, rent comparisons, construction cost comparisons, analyzing the deal before we bring that forward. And then our investors from across Canada will take a look at these projects. So we're registered in BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Ontario. So we'll launch a project up in Salmon Arm, British Columbia, and our clients from across the country will participate in that individual project.
So is it just so for somebody out there who's trying to kind of wrap their head around what Integrated Equities is actually doing. So you have a pool of potential investors you're working with, and what you're doing is finding deals through the partners you're working with and bringing those deals to this pool of investors, and they're deciding, hey, I want to invest in A but not B, also invest in C. Or is it more, hey, we're going to give Integrated Equities $100,000 and, you know, give me the annual report on how it's doing 5 years from now, or, you know, that type of thing. Like, can you explain exactly the process?
For sure. So like I always say, you need two things in this business. You need great clients and you need great projects. You can't have one without the other. So you could have a lineup of clients that are itching to get into something, but if you don't have a good project or a good deal to be able to offer them, you're not going to be able to make something happen. So it's a little bit of both. It's having both good clients and good projects. And how it works from a client perspective is, you know, we really like to sit down and get a feel for what their goals and their objectives are for this investment. I think all clients generally are, I would like to earn the highest return on investment possible. I think that's sort of human nature. But when you break it down, are you looking for something that pays you on a monthly basis? Are you looking for something that pays you at the end of a five-year project? Are you looking for something that pays you monthly and pays you at the end of the project? So sort of evaluating what's important to you, income, growth, or a little bit of both. And then once we've got that gauge of what the client's interested in, we'll tailor our projects and send them those what we believe are fit for them. And then they will have the ability to pick and choose. So within the last 12 months, we've brought forth projects in Kelowna, Duncan over on Vancouver Island, Vernon, Salmon Arm, and projects in the Southern Ontario market for some Toronto and Ontario-based clients. So clients from across the country have the ability to pick and choose and say, hey, you know what, I like Salmon Arm. Hey, you know what, Vernon's not for me. And they can put their money in how they want. We have projects on what they're called limited partnerships. So, for example, we're working on a project coming up in North Vancouver that will be a limited partnership where clients can pick and choose and actually invest in that particular deal in North Vancouver. And then we also have what's called a REIT or a real estate investment trust. And this is buying like an index fund or a mutual fund of real estate buildings. So this REIT, Centurion REIT, they're the largest private REIT here in Canada. They've got about 22,000 units that they own and operate. So for an investor, you can put $25,000 in. You can also use RSPs, TFSAs, and you're invested across that entire portfolio of rental buildings across Canada. So some investors really like the diversification aspect, saying, hey, it's spread across all these different buildings. And we also have some investors that really like to pick and choose where their investments are in a specific area.
Have the deals, like, you know, we talk to a lot of people in the development industry on the show, and everybody talks about stuff just not penciling. Like, it's just really hard to make sense of a project over the last couple of years, especially since the interest rates have went up. Like, are you finding it harder to find deals over the last couple of years? Or
100%. I think you've seen a lot of developers pivot. You know, how long ago was condos were just the total craze, couldn't get enough of them, couldn't sell them quick enough. And then all of a sudden, it was this shift to rental. And now you've seen developers building much more rental stock than condo stock. And I think it ties into the fact that you've got the CMHC, the Canadian government out there incentivizing developers to build rental product and bring that online to the communities. Now, again, they're not expediting it as quickly as they say they are. But again, they're doing these sort of government financing incentives to bring forth this rental product to the market. And so it's definitely been more challenging to see projects, and you're seeing condo projects now being either paused or delayed or just completely scrapped and shifted over to rental. We like the rental space. We like the wood frame rental space. You've got shorter construction time frame. It rents for a similar price per square foot as the concrete. And then we're also building a lot of these secondary markets, which we really like, the interior of the Okanagan, Vancouver Island as well.
Well, what makes a good market for you?
So, I mean, it kind of goes back to the basics of what we heard 10 years ago at my first RAIN meeting, which is the Real Estate Investment Network, which, you know, the economic fundamentals and what does that mean? It's really what's driving the market from an economic standpoint and what are the metrics from a job growth perspective and a population growth. So is there jobs being created in the area and are people moving there? So those are really the big identifiers. And as well as once you break that down is taking a look at infrastructure, seeing the infrastructure improvements to that area. That can be a good way to kind of gauge the long term of the market. But we really look for where are people going, and then as well as your vacancy rates and your rental rates as well in the market.
And can we talk about some of those areas in BC that you're excited about?
For sure. So West Urban, which is one of our development partners that we've done a lot of work with the last 2 years, they're headquartered out of Vancouver Island. So they've completed about 17 of these projects to date, up and down the island, Victoria, Nanaimo, Esquimalt, Campbell River. They're up in Kelowna, Vernon, Penticton, Salmon Arm. So they really like all these secondary markets here throughout BC, and really stems down to the fact that most of them are below a 1% vacancy rate, and you've got really strong rents, and you know people expect that rental market to stay strong moving forward.
I'm just thinking, like, you know, we used to, and you mentioned it, like, you know, I remember back in the old days over in Langford, you know, people buying, you know, there was little condos, people could come buy a condo, you had a rental pool. It like made sense. It was like, okay, I own this condo. You know, if 5 years from now I can sell this condo, it was like very easy to wrap your head around. When you move more into rental, the rental side of things, like what does the, like a, not a specific project, but generally speaking, what does that actually look like? So you're investing in that rental project. Is there a exit point? Like how can you just walk us through for like a mom and pop investor out there that, you know, instead of a little condo in Langford is looking at some, you know, a rental project in Nanaimo instead?
Definitely. So most of our clients are real estate investors by trade, and most of them got started or still continue to operate their business from a buy and hold strategy perspective. So whether that's a furnished short-term rental, whether that's an Airbnb, or whether that's just a 12-month long-term rental, most of our clients are real estate investors in that capacity. So when taking a look at private equity, investing in a private equity land development project, what does that look like in comparison? The first thing I would say is that the private equity investments are all passive and very hands-off, which used to say was what our older clients really liked. You know, the 55, 60-year-old clients who said, hey, you know, I don't want to deal with the tenants and toilets anymore. But now you're talking to the younger clients who are 30, 40, 50-year-old said, hey, I don't want to deal with that either. And so I think the passive hands-off nature of these investments where aside from listening to the presentation and making that informed investment decision, there's really no work that goes on afterwards for anything related to the investment aside from sort of your tax filing. So the sort of passive hands-off nature is really appealing to a lot of investors who are at different stages of their investing career. The second thing is there's no mortgage requirement for you as the investor. So you're putting up the equity investment. Generally, the investment starts as little as $25,000 per investment company. And so you're not required to go out and work with a mortgage broker, get all the paperwork together, get a file application, get financing approved. And that's great for either investors who can't qualify or people at a stage where they said, hey, I just don't want any more mortgage financing. So that's one thing that I always like to highlight. And then as well as these are RSP and TFSA investments eligible. So you can put $25,000 in one of these projects using your RSPs and TFSAs, which a lot of people have them there sitting there earning not a great return. So they're very curious to actually learn and hear about the fact that you can put these registered funds into a different real estate project. And then as one thing that we really like is the portfolio diversification. You know, a lot of our clients live here in Vancouver, they work here, their portfolios spread across the Lower Mainland. And so to be able to go and provide them some exposure over to Vancouver Island in a city like Langford or up in a market like Kelowna, where they don't have to get up there and do the work themselves, these investments provide all of those options.
So can you walk us through like timelines for those? So there's and I know there's various ways, but if it's a rental project, is the goal to actually sell it
at some point, or is it buy and hold? Like, do you, what happens? I give you $50,000 in a typical rental investment. Like, do you get the money out at some point? Like, what does it look like?
You got it. So with these rental development projects, these are considered a growth investment. So there are no distributions until the end of the project, because they're using that capital to buy the land, build the building, finish the construction. And so as an investor, you can put $50,000 into one of these land development projects. They're projected at around between 2 to 3 years, depending on the project. So as an investor, you're putting up the capital at the beginning. They're going out, they're acquiring the land, they're getting all their permits in place, they're breaking ground on the construction, they're building the building. And then about 3 to 4 months prior to the building being completed, they'll begin the building lease up. So they'll start marketing the building for rental. They'll put out advertisements, banners, flyers, all that stuff to raise awareness. And their goal is to have that building fully leased or fully stabilized upon completion or very shortly after. So as the developer, they're buying the land, building the building, renting it up and completing it. And their goal is to then sell that to either an institutional buyer, such as a REIT, like Centurion, that group we talk about. They're out there looking for brand new properties that are fully rented, fully leased up. And then they would then acquire that building amongst all of the investors. So the investors collectively all own that building together. And when the project is sold and completed, they're returned their original equity plus their profit. And with these land development projects, they're targeting around a 20% return per year, which is what we like to see when going into these land development projects, kind of breaking down three different projects, a mortgage fund, a REIT, and a land development. We would kind of rank those as low risk, medium risk, and high risk. With the mortgage fund, this is like a bank lending play. This is a mortgage fund that's set up to lend on primary mortgages. This is paying about an 8% distribution back to the investors. This is spread out or diversified across over 500 mortgages. So the loan to value is conservative. The distribution's around an 8% and that's paid out monthly. So we would categorize that as sort of a low risk, low return investment. Taking a look at the Centurion Group, they're buying apartment buildings that are already built, that are already generating income, that are already rented up, and they're targeting around a 7 to a 12% return for their investors. So we would classify that one as a medium risk, 7 to 12, and as well as a medium return at 7 to 12. And then with land development, because there's risk of construction, cost overruns, timeframe overruns, all of the nuts and bolts that go into building something, all of those come into play on the risk side. And that's why you see the higher targeted returns around a 20% to compensate for that associated risk and return. And so we always have investors, when we lay them out, most people gravitate towards the highest return on investment. But what we're seeing with a lot of our wealthier clients, they really like the fact that they can park their money, target an 8% return, beat the GICs that the banks are offering right now, but still be in invested in real estate, what they believe are more of a conservative approach than buying something and digging a hole in the ground and building a building to try and get a 20% return.
Right. Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakwin Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakwin.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakwin, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakwin.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
You see the new residential tenancy rules that came into place a couple of weeks back, or that haven't actually come into place, but are going to be changed this summer. Do you see that as putting more investors into private equity, like from being basically like, I don't want to deal with these new rules, these new changes coming into effect. I'd rather just do something more passive. Like, do you think we'll see an uptick of flow into private equity?
That and an outflow of people out of the country. I think, yeah. With the capital gains tax and, you know, just every day it becomes harder and harder to be a landlord. I feel like in this province, they're just putting up all these rules and regulations and taxes and barriers. You know, if you own an Airbnb property 12 months ago, you were laughing. Now, today, as of May, you're no longer allowed to. And so it's all of these things are causing people to shift and pivot. And so, you know, having a rental property 6 years ago, it cash flowed much easier than it does today. And so I think building that portfolio of individual properties for investors has become more challenging. And so we are seeing people pivot. Clients that were buying multiple rental properties per year are now allocating those funds into more of these limited partnerships or mortgage funds that we offer.
And do you see this having an impact on the institutional money that are buying the rental buildings as well?
So I actually got to share with you this funny meme, and it's kind of this circle, and it talks about the teacher's pension plan, and it talks about this teacher contributing to pension plan and the pension plan then buying the apartment building raising the rents, and the teacher then going, I can't believe the rents are being raised on me.
Right.
And, you know, some of the largest owners of apartment buildings,
sure,
are the teacher's pension plan, and
sure,
and they've also been, for the lack of a better description, sitting on the sidelines here the last couple of years. They still have been placing funds, but I think you've got an insane amount of people called dry powder sitting on the sidelines ready to deploy it. I'm just sort of waiting to see how this whole interest rate scenario plays out, as well as getting some more consumer confidence, which I think one rate decrease could really instill that into the market.
Yeah, and I guess the idea is the pro formas are typically based on when you're acquiring the property, getting investors, and then usually, at least in Vancouver, by the time the buildings have been built, the rents are up substantially enough that it kind of everything becomes profitable in many cases. At least that's what we've been told by institutional money over time, that they're always shocked at actually how the rental market outperforms their performance.
I remember Goodman put out a report. This was probably 2017 or 2018. And they put a report out that said Vancouver rents were going to hit $5 a square foot. And just people couldn't believe it. You know, people were laughing at that article. And now you drive around most municipalities and it's in that neighborhood of $5 per square foot, if not higher, in some of these cities. And so it's amazing how the market continues to climb, both from a pricing perspective and a rental perspective. And I think it really stems down to the fact that we have so many people coming in, we don't build it quick enough, and it's quite a challenge today to build some of these projects, both from a timeline perspective and a cost perspective.
But it sounds like you're seeing the opportunities. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that, because you mentioned a lot of the secondary markets as being exciting, but you do have this project in North Van. I guess maybe I'll reframe that as, apart from, I kind of stole your thunder here, but what areas are you excited about in Vancouver? And we'll say North Van's one of them. Are there other areas?
Yeah. So, I mean, lived in North Vancouver for 30 years, worked on, feels like, every single municipality and city: Mission, Abbotsford, Campbell River, Vernon, Salmon Arm, and now finally at home base in North Van. And Western Canadian Properties Group, which is a developer that you guys have known for quite some time, both up in Fort St. John as well,
right,
as over in Langford for that investor tour there. They've got a site tied up in North Vancouver where the old Garden Works used to be there. And they're looking to move forward with a 70-unit rental building, which will be bringing 70 rental units to the community. And so they're going to be—
Is Garden Works closed?
They moved locations. So they're down in that industrial area there in North Van, kind of behind Norgate there. And so they moved to a brand new location, I would say within the last 2 years or so.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
And are you, so outside of being—
spend a lot of time at Garden Works?
I was just going to say, we should timestamp this. It's Mother's Day in about 6 days. I was going to make a trek over there. I'm like, wait a second, is it not there anymore? Anyway.
Shout out Garden Works.
So in terms of like outside of like growing up there, and I mean, of course, we're big fans of North Vancouver as well, but like, can you give us just a brief breakdown of like what's going on in North Van and why people that maybe don't know North Vancouver that well would want to invest there?
I think the one thing that people always say, and I've lived down in the North Van shipyards down in Lower Lonsdale area for coming up on 6 years now. And it's just when people go down in that area near the Lonsdale Quay, you know, people may or may not have taken the C bus in the past before, but when they go down to that area, they can't believe how much it's changed. And I think it's really the demographics there. You've got such a young population there. The amenities are unbelievable. You've got great walking trails. You've got great parks. You've got great restaurants, shopping, all that kind of stuff there. And as well as the accessibility down to downtown, you're 12 minutes to take the C bus directly to downtown. And so, and then as well as just there's not enough product being built in this area. We've got Concert, which is doing a big condo development there on Harborside right near the Auto Mall. But up and down Lonsdale and along this Marine Drive corridor for how accessible it is from a transit perspective and how desirable of an area North Vancouver is. There just hasn't been enough rental product to meet the demand for all the people that have been moving into the area.
What kind of timelines for the project?
Yeah, so with this being a wood frame construction, they're expecting around 2 years from start to finish to build the building, and then as well as putting in a six-month period to stabilize and rent up the building. And so their goal will be to pre-market and pre-lease that building for rental prior to construction or prior to completion. And then those couple months right after, the goal is to have that fully rented and fully stabilized. And really the goal with that is to have it fully rented and stabilized so you can sell that to an institutional buyer. And these buyers want to see it built, but they also want to see it rented as well. And so really the value creation where you're going to see the highest return on investment for the investors is not just building it, but building it and renting it up at the rates that you set out to. And so there's both the art of building the building and then as well as making sure that you're fully renting it up and hitting those numbers so the institutional buyers are in a position to purchase it.
And just maybe pivoting a bit, I know you've done a lot in the U.S. and we've had a lot of questions from people. And I mean, I think it's also triggered maybe by the tenancy changes and the cap gains tax. But a lot of people reaching out right now asking us for our insight into the U.S., you know, kind of like Rust Belt or Sun Belt and those types of questions. Where are you? I know, like, you know the States. I know you're down there a lot. Where are you excited about?
Just got married there.
You just got married. Yeah, right. Congratulations. In Arizona, right?
You got it. Yeah, in Phoenix.
Yeah, in Phoenix. Okay. So can you maybe talk about maybe where you're excited about in the U.S. and where you see a lot of activity for investors?
For sure. So the word you touched on there, the Sun Belt, that's the area that we've really focused on the last 9 years. The states that we like are Arizona, so city of Phoenix and surrounding markets there, and Tucson near the University of Arizona, Texas, so San Antonio, Austin, Houston, Dallas, those four big cities there in Texas. We like those. Las Vegas, Nevada, and as well as really like Atlanta, Georgia as well. So kind of those smile cities or Sunbelt areas. And the big trend, which I think was exacerbated. I don't know if I even said that word right. Don't know why I chose to use that one.
I was impressed.
The COVID trend of people in tiny small condos in city like Los Angeles or city like New York City. And as you went down to Arizona last weekend, you're in a 4-bedroom house with a pool and a sport court for $2 million. And some people are living in Santa Monica in a 2-bedroom condo for that price. And so I think you saw a demographic shift of people's lifestyle saying, hey, if I can do my job but live somewhere else. You saw that shift.
Totally. Yeah, and it's interesting. So, and in Atlanta is an interesting one as well. Down there, speaking to people that were from the South, a lot of them actually, he was saying their friend groups would basically typically leave and go to Atlanta. So it's almost like people end up in Atlanta from all the Southern states.
A lot of film, huge film industry. I think it's even number one compared to Vancouver. And then also you've got one of the busiest airports in the world in Atlanta. And then as well as also a growing tech industry there as well. Markets as well. We've never invested down there, but markets that you hear a lot of the East Coast investors focused on are going to be those Florida areas, the different Florida markets. I would say that's kind of like our Arizona for people out in out in Ontario. Sure. It's kind of that direct flight straight down. And so you see a lot of the Ontario-based real estate investors investing throughout those different markets in Florida, similar to kind of the West Coast investors here do down in Arizona.
And one thing you mentioned before we went live that was kind of interesting, I'd never thought of, was the property tax in Texas as mm-hmm. like something that you might not consider.
Yeah, just a little bit of a yellow flag, I would say, for people when evaluating that. And Adam 2.0 mentioned that on the way in and say, you know, I heard it's awesome down there in Texas and some of the houses that you can get there are just amazing for the price. And while that may appear to be true, I think with the low or zero state income tax, they have to obviously make that up somewhere. And so the way of doing that is through the property taxes within Texas. And so one thing to kind of take a look at and evaluate moving forward before moving forward.
Hmm. If you were going down there to invest, and I know you do invest, but if you were going down there, you know, this year, 2024, to buy something, which market would you target? And is there a property type that you'd be looking at?
So one gentleman that I know through the real estate investing world here in Vancouver, who I've been following along for quite some time, his name is Derek Peaver. Don't know if you guys have ever crossed paths with him, and he's done corporate furnished rentals for probably close to 10 years now. Went on a huge run up here in Vancouver, has kind of sold off everything once it hit the market and now hit the top of the market, has been focused a lot down in Texas, specifically in that Austin, between Austin and San Antonio corridor. And he's been doing a lot of corporate furnished rentals for like insurance claims, floods, stuff like that. And he's been focused in that specific asset class and seemed to have a lot of success there. The single family home market, I think, depending on where you go, has been flat. And then you've also had some price compression as well in the multifamily space. So depending on what your strategy is, depending on what capital you have available, you could look at doing an Airbnb. You could look at buying a corporate furnished rental and doing more short-term furnished rentals on that side or more of a vacation property.
So Taylor, maybe two more questions before we leave. We'll save the last question, which is what your thoughts on the Vancouver market. But before we get to that, if someone's at home and they're actually thinking about investing in the North Vancouver project, what does that look like?
Or any project.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we find that each investor comes to their decision in a different way, in the sense of people like to read information, see things in person, hear things all at their own speed and in their own direction. And so we really try and make it accessible for everyone to really understand what it is they're investing in. We believe that education is very important before making any of these investments. And so we provide different avenues and different options for people to understand and learn about these investments. The first way is we'll provide an executive summary and a package for investors to take a look at and read. The second is we organize a couple times a year these in-person real estate investment summits where we'll bring in one of the members from their team to speak in a room at the Earls downtown Vancouver, where they can come in and hear the group directly, ask questions to developer, and as well as network with other investors there in the room, as well as meet mortgage brokers, realtors, build out their support team that way. So we host these investment summits as a way for people to get educated and really hear the project firsthand from the people that are running it, as well as go up and ask questions directly to afterwards. And then the third way we also organize is the investor tours, the in-person one-day investor tours, which I know you've been on there. And so what we do is we really like to show people firsthand what it is they're potentially investing in. So we'll organize these one-day trips to a specific market or a specific site. We'll have the whole development team there. We'll organize a bus, drive around the neighborhood. And it really allows people to see the project firsthand, meet the developer, as well as ask questions and kind of connect with other investors that way. So those are the different ways that we believe people like to be educated on these projects, whether it's reading a package, watching a presentation, either in person or recorded, and then as well as seeing the project firsthand. Some people will do all three. Some people might do one. Some people might do one, then three. But we really like to provide all those options for people to find out if it's the right investment for them. And then if they are interested, we have the limited partnership agreement. So that's the legal nuts and bolts of what it is you're actually investing in. And then as well as the subscription documents that investors sign up towards that project. The minimum investment to participate is $50,000. So people can invest $50,000 into these different projects such as North Vancouver.
And you don't have to be accredited?
So for this individual project, the North Vancouver one, this is available to accredited investors only. The minimum investment is $50,000 and it's a cash only investment. And like with any investment, there are always risks that go into these investments. It's really important to review and understand these risks before making any investment decision. Past performance does not guarantee future results.
This is not investment advice.
You got it.
And last,
had to get that in somewhere. Yeah.
And last but not least, Taylor, what are your thoughts on the Vancouver market and just the balance of the year and maybe how we're looking in 2025?
And what's with all this new inventory?
You know, I think the Vancouver market, it's always been an emotional one. It's never been, I would say, a data-driven market per se. If people really make decisions with their heart versus their brain, for lack of a better
description. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a guy the other day and he said, I'd never heard this before. He said, real estate is the love language of the city, or the language of love. And I was like, huh.
It's everyone's favorite sport.
Yeah.
Besides the Canucks, you know, it's everyone's favorite sport in this city. And, you know, I think that it is very a mob mentality based market here in Vancouver. When there's people camping outside of the presentation centers, you're happy to put your tent one behind them. But when there's no one out there, you're not going to go line up and be the only person. And so it's really, it's a very herd mentality market, which, good or bad, you know, right now it's the herd. The herd is not as jumping in as much as they have in the past. And so I think that the interest rate confidence, if the Bank of Canada does decide to give a decrease here coming up, that could make the herd maybe run a little faster in another direction.
You heard it here first. Taylor, we do have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions that we end every show with. Can you stick around for that?
Would love to.
So question number one, what is one book that you'd recommend for our listeners?
The Four Agreements.
Nice.
Yeah. Only because my wife told me to read that one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
What are the Four Agreements? It's come up on the show before, but yeah, I guess that's spoiled.
Is it Obama's favorite book? I think it's...
It's like be impeccable with your word. Don't take things too personally. I'll have to figure out the other two.
next. For part two.
Next time you come back, have the other two agreements.
We didn't agree on those ones.
Don't tell your wife. Yeah. Next question is a belief, behavior, or habit that you've taken on in the last year or two that's greatly improved your life.
A belief that I've taken on. I mean, one thing I think we can all maybe relate to is like it's always so much bigger or worse in our head than it is in real life. Like we're always so focused internally, but when you step out into the real world, it's not as big as it seems to be.
Yeah.
So I think we always have this way of telling ourselves these stories of creating things to be much bigger than they are, where
catastrophizing.
I don't believe that whether it's really good news or really bad news.
Right.
At least me, I've sometimes gotten this mode of believing things to be bigger one way or another than they actually are, and so that's one thing I've kind of been focusing on.
That's actually great. I feel like we're all probably guilty of it, especially if you're ever on Twitter. But
100%, you know, you're sitting alone in your room and you're scrolling on Twitter and you're just reading all these things. Then you go into the world and you walk down that street and it's like the birds are chirping, the sun's shining, and it's a completely different world. And
right. Fantastic.
What have you been binge watching or a movie recommendation?
I'm a YouTube guy. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
What are you watching on YouTube?
I like those like pranksters and those kind of like feel good YouTubers, you know, like the people that like pay for people's groceries in the store, like
nice.
Give people like free MacBook Airs at public libraries, like stuff like that, kind of like that feel good humor. So that's kind of the stuff I watch.
I've never.
And the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say. Okay. And then favorite music. And you're like a Coachella guy, aren't you? I think you've been down in Coachella a couple times.
We got married on the Coachella weekend this year. Okay. So had to break. Yeah, we've been down there five years. And it's,
oh, wow.
It's always circled on the calendar. Love music and love being down in good weather like that. So had to postpone the Coachella for the wedding. But
what's one band you've been listening to that you'd recommend?
So one of my favorite artist groups is called Rufus Du Sol. They're an Australian kind of music DJ group. And they have kind of really good, light, feel-good music. Great working out, great driving, kind of all different genres of application.
All right. There you go.
And last but not least, something that you have spent $1,500 or less on recently that's had a positive impact on your life.
So we were chatting about, I did the BMO half marathon.
Right.
Bought a pair of expensive running shoes last April. Never ran more than 2 kilometers in my life. Always played hockey. And that, I would say, changed my life in a better way. For the better.
Now, you jokingly said you'll never do it again, but is that...
I will never do it again, but it changed my life for the better. It was really great to be able to take on a new challenge and kind of prove to yourself that you can do something and
You were well under 2 hours as well.
Yeah, phenomenal. So it's
150-30.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Taylor, how can people find out more about you and, of course, Integrated Equities?
Yeah, so would love to chat with anyone. Our website, integratedequities.com. You can reach me on my email at taylor@integratedequities.com or happy to chat via phone or text message 778-888-0991.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it. That was fun.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Taylor Steele from Integrated Equities.
Always great having Taylor on the show and picking his brain about what's going on in the U.S. and in Canada. Always got his finger on the pulse.
Finger on the pulse. I feel like they're always looking for opportunities. Taylor, Cynthia, and the team over there. It's great kind of hearing where they're at right now, where the opportunities are. And he's an interesting guy.
Dave Steele, Taylor's father.
That's right.
Was instrumental in changing, I think, our collective waistlines.
Yeah, that's right.
What was that book? I can't remember. It was Younger Every Year. Was that the Younger?
That's
younger,
right.
I think it's Younger Every Year.
You know what? And it wasn't even that book as much as I was telling myself up until that conversation that I didn't have time to exercise. And then I thought, okay, Dave Steele.
Very busy.
Yeah, if I think I'm busy, like take me and times it by 25. And if he's able to do yoga.
It's way more than 25.
Yeah, sorry, 250. No, just more. Kidding. More than that. But yeah, he's doing yoga. He's exercising. Yeah. He's prioritizing health.
I think he had the epiphany at some point in his life. I think he was like, holy, this is getting scary. I got to turn this around. And that book was instrumental.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah. But I feel like that was kind of an instrumental moment in our collective health journeys.
That book is so funny. If you are going to download it, it's narrated by a guy that sounds like Rodney Dangerfield, like telling you how to get in shape. I think that's generally it. But
it's also like, come on guys, I know what you're thinking right now.
Yeah,
like
totally.
It does a lot of the inside, like we're all in this. We all get it.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
Anyways, you don't want to be at the gym, do you?
We know. I can't tell if anyone's going to actually take this as a, as a glowing review or not.
I feel like the book now is a little, there's been strides since, but it was very good.
It was very good. Yeah, absolutely. What else do we got before we cut for the day?
What else do we have before we cut for the day? We have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is our website where all things real estate related live, including the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer with VIP access to pre-sales, deal of the month. We have stats that go out monthly, different types of stats, sales ratios. If you're interested in certain price bands, certain neighborhoods, we got you covered. That's all at the LiveWire. We also have, of course, tried and true private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available over at your fingertips at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Check it out. There's really not a better time. Like I feel like right now, inventory creeping up, monitor the market. There's,
you know what, you say that every week, but it is true because the market is very dynamic and it's always interesting to see what's going on.
I just feel like, you know, as a real estate enthusiast, I feel like I want to monitor markets and I've tried a lot of different ways to do that. And I feel like this is one of the best, if not the best. And also you get the alerts. It shows you the sold prices. So it's kind of like if you're tracking a sub area or if you're tracking like a building, for example, it's like you get to know. I mean, it's funny, but it's set up around my house and a neighbor who's a good friend, he's in the business. I send him alerts on houses that are coming and going.
Keeping him up to date.
Well, yeah, but it's funny though. It's like, cause I just, and then he sends me like his notification or whatever. Like this is how you monitor markets and it's free and it's available through the site, Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
All right. VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. What else do we have? I think that's it, Adam. If you want to talk about that or anything else, give me a shout, 778-847-2854 or Matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574. store or Adam at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And of course, we got that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We'll have a happy Canada Day and we'll see you next week after the long weekend.
That's right. Stay dry.
2000 Faces for Radio.
Subscribe today.